I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, where I learn how to be an overcomer. Even if something has bugged you most of your life, for years and years and years, doesn't mean it's impossible to overcome it. It just means there's some things you hadn't gotten yet, or maybe you've just been weak in your spirit. But the scripture says, the book of Acts says, his word, the word of his grace, is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Hallelujah. When you're stronger, you're able to lay hold and receive things that you previously were too weak to receive. So let's pray and believe that strength comes into us today. Lord, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for the strength. Lord, you are so gracious to give us your strength. You said you give power to the faint. You increase strength to those that have no might. And so we ask for it and we lay hold of it in Jesus' name. Quicken us by your word. Show us what we need to see and know and do. Thank you for protecting us from the wiles of the enemy and making us aware of his devices so that we're not snared, we're not trapped by it, but that we do go from grace to grace and faith to faith and glory to glory in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you would look with me again in 1 Corinthians at our text, 1 Corinthians 10, continuing in our study of overcoming unbelief. 1 Corinthians 10 in verse 1 says, I would not that you would be ignorant how all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all baptized to Moses in the cloud and the sea, ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Talking about the journeys of the first generation of Israelites that God brought out of Egyptian slavery and their journeys then through the wilderness, eventually into the promised land, the second generation. Verse 5, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Very important to know that Hebrews chapter 4 talks about this, that the works for them to enter into the promised land were finished before the foundation of the world. It was not God's plan for them to wander 40 years in the desert and die out there wrong and young. That was not God's will. Somebody say, not God's will.
Not God's will.
Not God's will. And the reason I say it so emphatically is because there are still so many people, even in churches, even preachers, either saying or leaving the impression that everything that happens was somehow the will of God. No, there's all kind of things happening that are not God's will, that don't please Him. And so, did you see this right here? It didn't please Him. He was not well pleased with them. He wasn't pleased with them being overthrown in the wilderness. He wasn't pleased with them not listening to him and winding up there. Now, these things are our examples to the intent we should not. Everybody say, should not.
Should not.
What does that mean? Don't do it. Lust after evil things like they did. Don't be idolaters like they were. Don't commit fornication like some of them did. Don't tempt Christ like some of them did. Don't murmur as some of them murmured. Verse 11, now all these things happen to them for examples or types. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Is he saying we need to know what happened to them and we need to be warned? And watch that we don't do what they did. We don't let happen to us what happened to them.
Yes.
Is this New Testament?
Yes.
Should we take it seriously?
Yes.
Well, if you know nothing about the Old Testament, then you're not doing this. You don't even know what he's talking about. Well, that's why for weeks now we've been camping on this. And we have studied one by one. There are 15 different events of this that you can see from Exodus through Numbers in their journeys. The first 10 is what led up to Kadesh Barnea, where the 10 spies came back the 12 came back and the 10 brought the evil report and the people just rebelled against God again. And he said, okay, what you've been saying is what's going to happen to you. They've been saying they were going to die in the wilderness. And then there were 5 other events after this. We have gone through every one of these one by one, and now we're up 1 through 14. Now we're up to number 15. So if you're just now joining us, we believe it benefits you to go back to the beginning of the series. And if you go online, faithschool.org, and look for the series Overcoming Unbelief. No charge, won't cost you anything. But your time, but I believe it'll be a good investment of your time. And go now to Numbers. Let's continue in studying this 15th event. Now, what we've seen here, beginning in Numbers 22, is that Balak, a king of Moab, and the leaders of Moab and Midian, which is some of the countries there in the land of Canaan that were occupying it at the time. He sees that Israel has had a couple of victories and very concerned that they're going to be next, and tries to hire Balaam, who was a prophet, a seer, to come curse Israel for him. And so we saw that he offered him all kind of treasure Balaam came and sought God about it. And the Lord said, you will not go with them. You will not curse them, for they are blessed. So he came back and said, I can't go. And so then Balak sent back more honorable princes with more money and said, look, don't let anything keep you from coming to me. You name your price. I will honor you. I will do whatever you tell me to do. And so Balaam just gets up the next morning and goes. And that's when he met the angel on the way, and his donkey saw the angel and, tried to get away. And Balaam kept hitting his donkey. And this is the place where the Lord opened the donkey's mouth where he could talk. Now, people, some intellectuals, they say, well, see, that proves this is just fairy tales. Donkeys can't talk. Well, I like what one individual said. He said, just looking on the first page of the book, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. He said, if you're okay with that, you'll be okay with the rest of the book. Is that right? Because if God made donkeys, right? If he made you, then I reckon he could do this. Yeah. And somebody said, you'd literally believe this happened? Absolutely. Just like I believe in the virgin birth of the Master. Just like I believe in the literal physical resurrection from the dead. If you don't believe that, you're not saved. You're not a Christian. It's not just mentally assenting. I heard one individual saying that this is a historical individual. They're not alive right now, but he had taken the New Testament, an intellectual of great intellect, but he decided he liked the teachings of Jesus, but he didn't believe in the miracles. So he made his own New Testament and took out all the miracles. Well, that man's not a believer. Huh? And if he died like that, that's sad. That indicates he died lost. No. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, huh? That's part of being born again. So no, it's not optional, you know. And you can't say, well, I'm sorry, I just can't believe such things. No, you could if you chose to. Yes. Yes. Believing is a choice. Yes. It's not that you can't. It's a choice. Yes. And again, if you believe that God created stars, galaxies, human beings, animals, then what is it he can't do?
Right.
Huh? Right. How can you say that couldn't happen? Mm. So anyway, Balaam repented and said, I'll go back home. And he said, no, go with them. This is chapter 22 and verse 35. Go with them, but only the word that I speak to you shall you speak. So then he reached Balak and his dignitaries in chapter 23. Balaam said to Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and they offered the bulls and the rams. He said, stand by the burnt offering, and I'll go. Peradventure, the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I'll tell you. And he went to the high place. God met Balaam. And Balaam said, I've prepared 7 altars. I've offered upon every altar a bull and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. And he said, return to Balak, and thus shall you speak. He came back, and they were standing by the sacrifices. He took up this parable, verse 7. Balak brought me from Aram. He said, come curse me, Jacob. Come defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I defy or denounce whom the Lord has not defied or denounced? From the top of the rocks I see him. From the hills I behold him. Now see, they're up in some higher terrain, hills, small mountains, and you can see down in the valley Israel spread out in their hundreds of thousands, camped across the valley. And he said, I see him. Lo, the people shall not dwell alone. They shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. I said earlier, you know, we know Balaam was a real prophet of God. Some of the things that he spoke and that came through him, we still quote today in the New Testament church. We'll see this in other things. But he also wound up in a bad way, at a bad end. Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have blessed them altogether. So he's very frustrated. He answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord has put in my mouth? So Balak, you know, they're at a standstill. The king's unhappy, upset. Balaam's not getting paid. This ain't working out the way they wanted to. But how many believe verse 8? How can you curse?
Yes.
Huh?
Right.
Whom God has not cursed. And so Balak said to him, come, I pray you with me to another place from which you might see them, and you'll just see the utmost part of them and not see them all. He said, you're standing up here, you're seeing the whole bunch. It's too big. Let's go to another vantage point, another viewpoint where you just see part of the crowd. You know? And maybe you won't be so impressed by how big they are. Excuse me. In other words, let's try this again. And you can curse them from there. And he brought him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars and offered a bull and ram. And he said, Balak, And Balaam told Balak, stand there. I'll meet the Lord over there. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth. He said, go again to Balak and say thus. When he came to him, he's standing by the burnt offering, the princes of Moab there. And Balak said, what did the Lord say? What's the Lord spoken? And he took up this parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken to me, you son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie. You know what I was saying earlier about some of these words and some of these phrases? This came through a man who's held up as a bad example. In the end, Balaam is held up as a covetous traitor to God. And yet, at this point, he's speaking the true word of God. Right? And that's something that all of us need to know, that God uses human vessels.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the problem with ministers, prophets, apostles, pastors, whoever they may be, problem with them is they're like you. Right? They're like me. Human.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And the thing is, you can get up in the morning and yield to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And later on in the day decide to yield to the enemy. They say, people don't even want to believe that, but it's the truth.
Yes.
It's the truth. Don't you remember Peter himself? Peter himself, one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Son of God. You're the Christ. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father in heaven. He said, man, you got that straight from heaven. Is that spiritual?
Yes.
It don't get any more spiritual than that. Right? Hot from heaven. Right through Peter. Huh? But then, not that much later on, you know, Jesus began to tell him about how he's going to suffer and many things and be crucified. And Peter took him aside and said, no, Lord. No, this will not be so to you. And Jesus turned around and said, I rebuke you, Satan, get behind me.
Yes.
Well, is Peter yielding to the wrong thing there?
Yes.
Yielding to the enemy?
Yes.
So we know he yielded to the right thing, and then he turned around and yielded to the wrong thing. Well, you don't have to yield to the wrong thing.
Amen.
But it is true. And the reason I say that is because sometimes people are, they get confused because they see God use somebody and then sometimes assume then that everything that they say and do is God.
Yes.
And that's not true.
That's right.
I said, that's not true. Amen. And thank God all of us under the new covenant have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So you can judge things for yourself.
Yes.
And the Bible said that we are to, you know, we're to test and try prophecies and all these things and doctrines. Go by that witness that you have on the inside and get full of this book.
Yes.
Right? And you won't be easily misled.
Yes.
Get full of the word so that you can know it for yourself. So Balaam then, he's taking him up and said, you won't see them all here. And he did hear from the Lord, and he put a word in his mouth, and he said, say this to Balak, you know, son of Zippor, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Because see, they're trying to get God to change what he said, right? Because he said, no, they're blessed, and you can't curse them. And Balak didn't like that answer. So he said, well, let's go over here, try this again. And this time the Lord said, this is how he starts off. God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Shall he not do it? Has he spoken? Shall he not make it good? No, God's not going to change his mind about his people being blessed, and you can't curse them. That ain't going to change today. And it's not going to matter how many times you ask. Right? How much money you try to come up with. How many are glad God can't be bought?
Amen.
Oh, wouldn't that be a problem? They'd be trying to buy him with the gold he made. That wouldn't work, would it? Verse 20, behold, I have received commandment to bless. And he has blessed. And I cannot reverse it. I can't. Hallelujah. Verse 23 said, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. There is none. I've heard Christians get all worked up because they said, you know, there's some witches that have moved into town, and there's some Satan worshipers, and there's some voodoo, and there's this, and somebody said they was going to put a hex on me, and they're going to do this. I've seen Christians just get all worked up. And remember one talking about, you know, I think somebody moved into the building in the apartment below me, and I hear strange sounds, and I think they're putting the hoodoo on me. And well, see, you don't know who you are. I said, you don't know who you are if you're scared of that. And the problem with fear is that fear makes you subject to things. Fear makes you susceptible to things. It's not okay. It's dangerous to fear this stuff. I know my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, he was in a town holding a meeting, and this particular a woman who was supposed to be a prophetess didn't like some things he said during the meeting and sent word to him that she was cursing him. And one of the pastors that was there went, Oh, Brother Hagin, what will you do? What will you do? Brother Hagin reared his head back. He said, I double dog dare her to curse me. Double dog. That's a good Texas colloquial expression. Double dog dare. Why would he say such a thing? Because see, he knows what we're reading right here today. Amen. Huh? Amen. He's convinced of it. He knows. And you know, the book of Proverbs talks about the curse causeless shall not come, but it will return. What does that mean? It'll boomerang. Huh? So if a foolish individual trying to practice occult things tries to curse a real blessed child of God, they better make it their hat size, because it's coming right back on them. Why? Because you cannot curse whom God has blessed. And there is no enchantment against the people of God. There is none. I don't care how many roosters you kill. Huh? How many things you draw in. How many enchantments you make. There is none. There is none. Why? Now think about it. Think about it. If anybody could reverse God's blessing and curse, that'd make them stronger than God. That ain't never happening. Right? That is never even coming close to beginning to start to be an issue. Said out loud, you cannot curse whom God has blessed. Well, what about you? What about me? Am I the beloved of the Lord? Huh? Am I the blessed of the Lord? Then who can curse me? I can curse me. Which is what this whole thing's about, and we're getting to. But no amount of witches, warlocks, voodoo priestess can. No, they can't. I said, no, they can't. Oh, Brother Keith, aren't you afraid somebody will hear it and try it? Like we said, make it your size. Make it your size. Because nobody's bigger than God.
Amen.
Hmm? Nobody. No, thank God his angels keep us. Yes. He's given His angels charge concerning us. They keep us in all our ways. They're mighty. I said they are mighty, mighty in power. And the Spirit who dwells in us, He's the one that hovered over the face of the deep when God brought this creation into existence on the earth. Say it another time. You cannot curse,
you cannot curse
whom God has blessed.
God has blessed.
There is no enchantment,
against the people of God.
Yeah. And if you believe that and you know that and you're convinced and fully persuaded and you have no fear, you are untouchable where these things are concerned. Now, like I just got through saying, you can curse yourself. And that's what we're going to learn more about. But anyway, he said, I've received commandment to bless, and He has blessed, and I can't reverse it. I can't reverse it, nor can anyone else. And that's when he said, verse 23, there's no enchantment, there's no divination against Israel. And we're called the Israel of God ourselves. And verse 25, Balak said to Balaam, well, don't curse them at all or bless them at all. Balaam answered and said to Balak, didn't I tell you all that the Lord speaks to me I must do? And Balak said to Balaam, well, come and let's go to another place. And maybe it'll please God you can curse them from there. Balak brought Balaam to the top of Beor and he looked. They built another 7 altars and another 7 bulls, another 7 rams. That's 21 now. And Balak did as Balaam said and offered the bull and ram on every altar. Can you see why the Lord said, look, I'm not a man that I'm fickle and just going to change my mind or that I lie. And here, that didn't faze them. They're like, let's try it again. Let's go over here to another place. Maybe you can curse them from this vantage point. God changes not. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that's why we are not consumed. And our time's up again today. Said out loud, I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith. You're what? You're what? You're what? I'm strong. Say it again. I am strong in faith, giving glory to my God. And it does glorify Him. Hallelujah. We'll see you back again tomorrow here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390